I'm Joanne Ozug, and welcome to The Road to Carnivore. In this introduction, I'm going to give you an idea of what we'll be talking about in this series. The Road to Carnivore is a name that I chose intentionally. My whole argument that is the backbone for this entire series is that the further you go down the road to carnivore, the healthier you will be. Eat more meat and less plants for better health. I know this is the complete opposite of the current narrative in food. The mainstream messaging right now is that plants are the healthiest thing we can eat. This is what I believed for many years until my body basically no longer allowed me to believe this anymore. I was drinking tons of green juice and eating lots of salads and raw vegetables because this is what I thought I should do to be healthy. And maybe eating mostly plants does work for some people, but as I increased plant intake, I developed more and more health issues that got worse and worse, and I just didn't understand because I was eating in a way that was supposed to be great for my body to thrive and be well. But eating mostly plants didn't go well for me. And after everything I've learned about meat and plants in the past few years, both from my research and my experimentation, it makes sense to me why I thrive the most from eating meat. My hope in this series is to share from all angles how meat and animal foods are actually the best foods we can eat. And if you're skeptical or think that sounds crazy, that is totally allowed. I will actually sort of assume this to a degree because that's the place I came from. I just couldn't believe it at first. It's not the message we hear and know. But I want to invite you to entertain this carnivore idea for a little bit. Let's set aside the existing beliefs that we have around food and take a fresh look at the meat versus plant-based debate from every angle. The health angle, the nutrition angle, fitness, even things like environment. A lot of the anti-meat arguments are often very skewed and cherry-picked. And there's a ton of information that supports meat from all of those angles I just mentioned. And for every one of my episodes, I will have show notes with studies and resources that you can look at to further examine these ideas I'm sharing. You can find those anytime at my website, theroadtocarnivore.com. Ultimately, what I want to emphasize above all is if the information in this series speaks to you, it is most important for you to do your own experimentation, to let your body tell you and communicate with you about what foods are optimal for your health. And believe me, if you do this right, your body will tell you. And what is so amazing and empowering and freeing about that is it puts to rest all of the conflicting information out there about what and how to eat. My message here is to eat as closely to carnivore as you can. This opinion is based on my research and experience, and I'm going to give you the science and arguments that support this way of eating. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to take all of this for a test drive as we go down this path together and see how your body responds. This is my other intention behind the name The Road to Carnivore. I'm going to lay out how you might start making changes to take you toward a carnivore way of eating, and how to navigate this in today's food environment. It's not realistic for most people to all of a sudden become a carnivore overnight, although there are a few people who've done this. I was not one of them. This was a very back and forth journey for me, which you'll learn about in the next episode. If you don't want to go all the way to full carnivore, that's okay too. Maybe you just explore how to get closer to carnivore and eat a more meat-focused diet and eliminate some of the more toxic plants. Because I believe you are likely to be healthier at the margin the closer you get to a carnivore way of eating. So what exactly is carnivore? This word gets thrown around a lot and is often used incorrectly. People might say, oh, I'm a carnivore, I eat lots of meat. But carnivore actually means you only eat meat, or rather, you only eat animal foods. So actual meat is on the table, but it's really anything that is an animal-sourced food. So dairy is carnivore, cheese, milk, yogurt. Eggs are carnivore, all kinds of seafood like shrimp and scallops and salmon. Even honey is technically considered carnivore. So carnivore is when you eat only animal foods and there's an absence of plants. The thought of eating only animal foods usually brings up a lot of questions and concerns. Things like, what about antioxidants and vitamins and minerals? Is this a balanced way of eating? Don't we need fiber? How do I know this is right for my body? Is eating this way expensive? Is it bad for the environment? What will I do about my favorite foods? What do I do for holidays or dining out? How do I handle social situations? All this to say, if you have a lot of questions, stay tuned. This series will be answering all of these questions and so many more. What I want you to think about now is, what's your health like? Do you consider yourself to be healthy? What's interesting to me about asking this question is that our modern idea of health has become so messed up. Health issues have become so common that we come to think of them as normal, especially since we can carry out our lives with these problems to some degree. We find a way to live with it, to live with our pains and ailments, and a lot of times we explain them away by saying it's because we're getting older. I know people who refer to themselves as healthy, but they are pre-diabetic, they have chronic acid reflux and gut problems and allergies. This isn't healthy, and it's not normal, even though it is common. Take something like the allergies. We talk about it like it's an unlucky condition that some people get stuck with, and there's nothing you can do about it except take Claritin. But for lots of people, allergies can be completely eliminated by changing the food they eat. And this is not a new idea. Whole30 is one of the most popular elimination diet programs, and there are tons of people who talk about how they were able to stop their allergy medication, their diabetes medication, their high blood pressure medication, people stop snoring and start sleeping better, their joints stop hurting, and on and on. I'll talk more about Whole30 in the next episode, but it was huge for me too when I first did it, particularly because, like many people, I had no awareness that my health problems had anything to do with the food I was eating. One of the most surprising things that I've learned about plants that isn't really talked about is that they contain toxins and poisons. I know how that might sound if you've never heard that before. I kind of rolled my eyes the first time I heard this, like, yeah, everything is bad. How do I know this is true? But this is a truth and a fact of botanical science. We don't tend to think of plants as alive in the same way as us or as an animal, but plants are living organisms that want to defend themselves from being eaten so that they can survive and reproduce. And because they can't claw your face off like an animal, they have to defend themselves with compounds that deter animals and us from eating them by making us sick in various ways. A lot of the damage is a chronic accumulation that's happening at a cell level, meal by meal, until it eventually manifests as gut problems or autoimmune disease or any of the other chronic diseases that so many people suffer from. The damage done to the body varies a lot from plant to plant. Fruits tend to be on the lower end of the spectrum. If you think about it, plants want their fruit to be eaten by animals who will spread their seeds. So the plants sweeten the fruit up and make it colorful and appealing. Whereas the parts that the plant doesn't want you to eat, like the roots and leaves, those tend to be more toxic. So many of the foods that people consider the healthiest, such as kale and spinach, turmeric, broccoli, and tomatoes, these are some of the more harmful plants that you can eat. And as I said, most of the damage isn't sudden, unless you're allergic. It's happening from eating these plants over and over again, meal by meal, year after year, until your body can't handle it anymore and major systems start to break down. And what really surprises me and disappoints me with the current narrative on our food is it's so often not the full picture at all. Take the turmeric I just mentioned. It's talked about as a superfood and supplement. People are putting it in everything right now, like broths and salad dressings and teas and all sorts of condiments and sauces. It's touted for supporting joint mobility, and a lot of the marketing centers around that claim, which sounds really nice, but turmeric is extremely inflammatory. It causes oxidative stress, it damages DNA, and it's extremely high in oxalates. We're going to talk more about oxalates very soon. I'm very excited for that episode, but picture they're these microscopic needles that embed in your soft tissues and cause a lot of damage in your body. Your body can't break them down, so sometimes they aggregate into kidney stones that your body tries to pass through the urine, but they can also come out of your skin. It's so freaky. So this is an example of what I mean, where something supposedly beneficial about turmeric is cherry-picked out and promoted, but it's not the full picture at all. And overall, turmeric is harmful to most people. Another example is broccoli. It's thought to be one of the healthiest foods there is, but broccoli is a nightmare for the body, and the mechanisms of this are starting to become more mainstream and well-known. Eating and chewing up broccoli forms a toxin called sulforaphane that damages your DNA and cell membranes, poisons your mitochondria, contributes to leaky gut, and inhibits the synthesis of thyroid hormones. The full picture needs to include these truths too. So I'm not trying to focus your attention on the broccoli or turmeric specifically. Rather, I want to introduce the idea that some of the things that you hear are the healthiest superfoods. Maybe that's not really true. What I want to do in this series is give you that fuller picture when it comes to meat and plants in our food, so you can make the best decisions for you and your life from a place of really understanding what the trade-offs are for eating certain foods. Something that I thought about recently that is an example is if you go out to a restaurant and they're french fries with your steak, People have a general sense that fries are unhealthy, but if you ask them why, they say, oh, well, because it's fried and fried foods are bad and it is carbs and carbs make you fat. And yes, but this isn't really the full picture. It's more nuanced than that. Unless the restaurant is bragging about the duck fat they're fried in, the fries at a restaurant are going to be fried in unhealthy oils like soybean oil or canola oil. These oils create major systemic inflammation, and they contribute to insulin resistance, diabetes, obesity, metabolic derangement, and so much more. These fats are thought to be one of the biggest culprits for our modern state of widespread disease and obesity. They're extremely harmful, and they make up 30% of calories for the standard American's diet. When you use these oils for frying in particular, it generates very high levels of cytotoxic and genotoxic aldehydes. Cytotoxic means toxic to your cells. Genotoxic means it damages your DNA and can cause mutations and cancer. And aldehydes are a group of compounds that are known to be carcinogenic or cancer-causing. You've probably heard of formaldehyde, for instance. And then there's the potatoes. Potatoes are a nightshade vegetable and have many toxic compounds like neurotoxins that damage your nerve tissue and rupture the membranes of your mitochondria and blood cells. And they also damage your gut lining. That's the stuff happening at the cell level, but as symptoms you can feel, these poisons cause joint pain, autoimmune symptoms, arthritis, and even more severe reactions like paralysis and heart failure. Then, on the mental side, French fries are an extremely rewarding and addictive food, particularly because they combine fat and carbs and salt, and this combination is not something that's found in nature together. So here's the thing. I am not saying that you can't choose to ever eat French fries. Humans do a lot of things that we know are potentially bad for us, like what is drinking? Sometimes we do things that we know are harmful because we choose to prioritize pleasure or something else in that circumstance. And that's a personal choice. But I think a lot of people, myself included, before I started really digging into this, don't really know what the fries are doing to them, what certain vegetables and plants are doing to them. And I want you to know. That's why I've created this series, to give you a different side of the story from the mainstream narrative and to encourage you to test this out a bit for yourself. I cannot tell you how quickly so many of my health issues disappeared when I eliminated some of the supposedly healthiest plants like Brussels sprouts and broccoli. And for the record, I already wasn't eating sugar or grains or inflammatory seed oils. It was purely the elimination of vegetables. So this is what we are going to be digging into. The bottom line is, food is quite possibly the single biggest factor for our health. And we are getting more and more unhealthy as a society, I believe, because we are eating further and further away from a carnivore diet, which is how we ate as humans for most of our history. We ate primarily animals. And now most of a typical American's diet is made up of extremely inflammatory industrial seed oils, sugar, and starch. I believe we are going the wrong way with the plant-based, plant-focused narrative. And it's showing up in our collective health as a society. So, to improve your health and your life, eat more meat, and especially red meat. This is what this series will boil down to. Now let's dig in. I'll see you in the next episode.